Prochayantam gatapi prabhavavit. Aitainam astad harat avadharya purusham. Parangnatanga kritati prakatanjali. Svarochisha bharata sutika grihang. Virochayantam gatapi prabhavavit. Avadharya, understanding surely that the child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purusham, the Supreme Person. Param, transcendental. Nata Anga, falling down. Kritati, with concentrated attention. Krita Anjali, with folded hands. Svarochisha, by the brilliance of his personal beauty. Bharata, O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Maharaj Bharata. Sutika Griham, the place where the Lord was born. Virochayantam, illuminating all around. Gatavi, all his fear disappeared. Prabhavavit, he can now understand the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation purported by Srila Prabhupada. O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of King Bharata, Vasudeva could understand that this child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Having concluded this without a doubt, he became fearless. Bowing down with folded hands and concentrating his attention, he began to offer prayers to the child who illuminated his birthplace by his natural influence. Purport. Struck with such great wonder, Vasudeva now concentrated his attention on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding the influence of the Supreme Lord, he was surely fearless, since he understood that the Lord had appeared to give him protection. Gatibi Prabhavavit. Understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present, he appropriately offered prayers as follows. Om Jnana Tiparandisha Gananjana Salakaya Chakshulmi Tamina Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Panchakopa Trivisha Krivasinu Bivisha Patitano Pravanibyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. So Lord Krishna has taken birth and he has appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki in his Narayan form. So he has all the features of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's demonstrating this very clearly to Vasudeva, that his son is not simply an ordinary child, an ordinary son, but was indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this particular Leela, Devaki and Vasudeva are not so much in their paternal rasa. It's not fully manifested, the Vatsalya mood. Rather, now we see this mood of awe and reverence is there because Krishna has appeared in his forearm form as Narayan and showing Vasudeva that he is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is capable of offering all protection. Now, of course, this is important because Vasudeva and Devaki have been in great fear of Kamsa for many, many years. And one of their constant preoccupations was, first of all, of course, that Kamsa had killed all of their children previously, so there was certainly this fearfulness of Kamsa and the loss of the children, which was, of course, very much aggrieved by them. But now, of course, they had particular concern for this eighth child, who was Krishna, who was the one who was meant to deliver them and deliver the world, really. So, of course, as we see later, then Vasudeva becomes very concerned for the safety of the child and tries to take all measures to make sure that that child is protected. But at this moment, there's a little different mood because Krishna wants to give assurance to Vasudeva, wants to show him that he is actually supreme. He is in control and he is capable of offering all protection to Vasudeva. And thus he manifests in this very opulent manner to be able to show that, yes, this is not an ordinary birth, that you are giving birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, of course, Vasudeva is struck with great wonder, and he's understanding the nature of Krishna, understanding this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that moment, it says, under the influence of the Supreme Lord, he was surely fearless, since he understood that the Lord had appeared to give him protection. So thus, rather than being in that Vatsalya mood where he would be offering protection to Krishna, which, of course, he later does, tries to take him and exchanges the child with Mother Yashoda to be able to protect him from Kamsa, at this moment, it's turned around. And he is becoming fearless, understanding, this is God, this is Krishna, this is the Supreme, and he can offer me all protection. And this is actually the position of the devotee. The devotee becomes fearless, understanding the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, we have so many wonderful examples within the Srimad Bhagavatam and the scriptures of this fact. Of course, we know that His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada's original name, his birth name was Abhay Charanaravinda, Abhay Charan, one who is fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is a very much a strong theme throughout our Vaishnava tradition, this idea of understanding that Krishna is giving all protection and therefore I can feel a sense of no fear, even within this material world. This is one of the qualities of the devotee. And it's one of the qualities of surrender, that one feels completely under the protection of the Lord. So this is something that really distinguishes devotees from non-devotees. In the material world, everyone is fearful. Everyone is fearful of so many different things that may happen in the world. We have the adibodhik, adidaivik, adiathic miseries. We know that there can be disaster at any time. There is fear from other living entities, especially if one lives in large cities. There is constant crime. continually. We were actually just discussing just yesterday that we were talking about history, and history is really mostly, if you read it the way you read in schools, it's a history of warfare, isn't it? Everything is based around, you know, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II. In other words, the whole study of history is about, is really the history of how mankind tries to destroy itself and kill one another. So naturally, this is a rather fearful condition in this material existence. And so that's very real danger to every one of us. Then, of course, natural disasters, the adiabatic miseries are there. And this seems to be something that's increasing. Nobody can quite figure out about this global warming or global cooling or exactly what's happening. Basically, what we can really see is we have global disruption. Everything seems to be disrupted. We have exceedingly hot spells, exceedingly cold spells. Last year, there was, somewhat here, but, you know, Texas and other places experienced tremendous droughts. And this causes great disruption. It causes disruption of agriculture, people's means of livelihood, of their living. We've seen, on top of this, we've seen, of course, economic collapses, the housing crisis, so many things. So the net result of this experience that people have within the material world is one of constant danger. Described that there's danger at every step within this material world. Therefore, it is natural that the living entity will feel fearful. Prabhupada, of course, we know in the scriptures talk about the propensities in life, particularly the animal propensities. And Prabhupada has made it very clear that without spiritual life, human life is not much different than animal life. And those propensities are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And this defending is interesting because sometimes Prabhupada has substituted fearing for defending. This fearfulness is a natural state of almost all living entities. If you actually go out into nature, and sometimes we think nature is very beautiful. In some ways, of course, it's more in the mode of goodness. So, you know, there are some, you know, definitely one's consciousness can be elevated in more natural states than, say, in cities, which are more in the mode of passion, ignorance. But even within that mode of goodness, when we go into nature, what is actually happening? It can look very peaceful, and you have these beautiful trees and little animals scuttering along that. But actually what's happening is the hard struggle for existence is continually there. It's described how one living entity is food for another. So that's really what's happening below the beautiful surface, that there is this constant struggle and strife just to survive. Right? I mean, the birds are eating the bugs, and something else is trying to eat the birds, and, you know, and so in other words, everyone is trying to survive somehow. So that is going on in this material world. And because of that hard struggle to survive, there's always fearfulness. So we see fearfulness within the animal society, and we see fearfulness within the human society as well. Now, if we remain on that platform of fearfulness, of constantly wondering and worrying about what is going to happen next to us, how am I going to eat? How am I going to survive? Then our life is very much like the animal life. And there really is not much that is different in this human form of life. But we understand clearly from the scriptures that this human form of life is meant for something greater. It is meant for spiritual awareness. It is meant for understanding who we really are. It's described in one of the purports in the 9th chapter that Srila Prabhupada says that there are two aspects to self-realization. One is knowing who you are, knowing that you are not this body, that you are spirit soul. But the second aspect is knowing Krishna, knowing the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore, of course, understanding our relationship with that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we know who we are, we know we're the spirit soul, therefore, fearing is no longer a factor, because fearing has to do with the material body and the material mind. In other words, fear is experienced in the mind due to concern for something happening to this material body. Now, that's natural. We all experience that to a certain degree. That's going to be there as long as we're in this material world, in these material bodies. Even for devotees, it's hard for us to claim, I'm completely transcendental to any concern or any fear due to my body. And naturally, there's always going to be that desire to want to protect the life of this body. And and protect the lives of others. That's a very natural thing. As long as we're in this material body, we should try to do that. Because after all, whose body is it? It's actually, if we really have a deeper understanding, it is not our body, it is Krishna's body. Just like we had the example of Sanatana Goswami, right, after his all of his escaping from the Mohammedans and getting away, and he's traveling throughout, and wasn't at that point when he kind of, when he had, was it leprosy? What was it? Okay. And so he had all these infectious and worms and everything. Yeah, from the heat. Okay, so at any rate, he kind of exists, and he had worms crawling in and everything, and you know, and he was, and basically, at that point, wasn't it that he was wanting to think, I should just give up his body? His body is of no use. It's no value. It's completely infested. I don't want Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to even touch me. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, despite that, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood this is my great devotee, my great surrendered soul. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you know, put these ideas out of your head. Whose body do you think this is? This is my body. You know, so therefore you must take care of this body because your body is meant for devotional service to serve me. And I have a lot of work for you to do. Which of course he did. Sanatana Goswami was meant to extricate the holy places in Vrindavan, to write so many books on devotional service and be a great preacher of Krishna consciousness. So on one hand, we don't just whimsically think, nah, I don't need to take care of this body, it means nothing, you know, I can give the body up, because no. Our body is used in the service of Krishna. As long as we have these material bodies and minds in the principle of Yukta Vairagya, we need to use them to serve Krishna. So it's described that we need to use the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesh. So that's there. But on the other hand, although we take care of the body properly and use it in Krishna's service, we shouldn't become so overly concerned, so overly fearful, that becomes our primary preoccupation. And sometimes we see that. People can become so concerned about their health or their economic situation, even devotees, that sometimes that seems to preoccupy everything. And we can almost forget what our real purpose of life is. We can forget, you know, that we are servants of Krishna, and our life is meant to be engaged in the service of the Lord, and to be giving pleasure to the Lord. And therefore, we can become preoccupied with this fearfulness. Rather, the devotee should see himself as the surrendered servant of the Lord, and as such that the Lord will always protect one. So the devotee feels this constant protection, and just as we're seeing here, Vasudev now felt fearless in the presence of the Lord. Now that can mean different things. Materially, we may or may not be protected in every circumstance. But we know that we are spiritually protected in every circumstance. And we can see that although our main concern is not for the material body, Krishna is very kind to his devotees, and often he will protect the devotee. We saw the example of Prahlad Maharaj, who of course is probably our exemplar of fearlessness. Prahlad Maharaj was threatened in every possible way by his father. His father tried to kill him by having him trampled by elephants, throwing him in pits of snakes, you know, throwing him off a cliff, in so many ways. The very exemplary thing about Prahlad Maharaj is that Prahlad Maharaj never actually prayed to Krishna to save him, did he? He simply remembered Krishna and chanted the holy names of God, and just felt himself very surrendered to whatever Krishna wanted for him. And because of his great surrender to him, Krishna naturally protected him. So he actually protected the physical body of Prahlad, but to speak of his spiritual life, at every moment. To the point that he incarnated as Nrsingadev broke out of the pillar, killed Hiranyakasipu, to demonstrate his protection for his devotees and his great love for his devotees. So we see this wonderful example of how the devotee can be protected by the Lord. I had an experience once. I haven't told this one for a couple of years, so might as well ring it out here. I was out on Sankirtan once, So it was about 30 years ago, and I was out distributing on Sankirtan on the parking lot, and this guy, real scruffy looking guy, comes up to me and asks what we're doing, and he says, well, I've got some bunch of stuff I can donate to you. It's out in my car. I said, okay. So whatever it is, you know, we'll take whatever we can to engage people in Krishna's service. So anyway, we're going out to his car, and we're going out to his car, and farther out in the parking lot. So finally, we're way out there, totally away from everybody, away from all the other cars, and I don't see any car out there, and not quite sure what's happening. So at that point, you know, my potential donee and person I'm going to engage in Krishna's service pulls a gun out on me, you know, and he puts it right here into my, you know, right into my stomach, and it says, give me all your money. I thought, well, this is probably not a good time to argue the point. So I said, okay. So I, fortunately, I had just started, so I didn't have a whole lot. It's $20 or $30, and I gave it to him. And then he gets this very strange look, which we'd probably call psychopathic, and says, I'm gonna have to kill you. And he pulls the trigger on the gun, and the gun goes click. Okay, so the gun jammed and didn't fire. And at that moment, now, while this is all happening, I would like to say that I was completely dependent on Krishna, chanting the holy name, but I actually wasn't. But it just happened so fast. But at that very moment, my entire consciousness was filled with the thought of Lord Nrisingadeva. And I completely felt the presence of Lord Nrisingadeva at that moment. Lord Nrisingadeva was, I mean, I absolutely no doubt in my mind, Lord Nrisingadeva was there, 100%. And I was just chanting Tavakara Kamala, was just completely, my mind was filled with chanting the names of Lord Nrisingadeva. And at that point, he got a little bit bewildered, wasn't quite sure what to do. And so then I just started, Krishna gave me a little bit of verbal ability, fortunately, and I started talking real fast, and I started preaching to him, you know, telling him about what we're doing. And I said, you know, God just saved my life there, you know, because we're devotees of Krishna, and devotees of, you know, it's the whole bit. You know, he's kind of, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, you know. So finally, it's, you know, anyway, I talked to him a while and tried to, you know, kind of calmed him down and everything, and then we're talking. Then he starts telling about how terrible his life is, and he's a heroin addict, and he couldn't help it. He had to get the money, to get his next fix, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling him how he needs to surrender to God, and, you know, this whole bit. And I invite him to the Sunday feast and give him a card and all that stuff. So we're bonding. You know, we're having a little relationship here. And then I couldn't help myself. You know, I was just really curious. You know, I said, was that gun really loaded? He says, it sure was. The guy blew away last night. And I go, okay. And he pulled out the cartridge, and it was fully loaded, you know, with bullets. So it was. I mean, and it just jammed. You know, then I got a little bold and said, you know what would really help? If you could give me the money back. I almost had him talked into it. But then his partner comes up in this old beater car, you know, the kind where the muffler, you know, it's like they're boom, 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 you know, and he comes and says, hey, let's get out of here. So he jumped in the car and he took off. And he, unfortunately, I was disappointed he didn't come to the Sunday feast. I didn't see him again. But what I took away with that is obviously that, you know, Krishna does protect us at every moment. Even such a lowly, fallen, insignificant devotee, so-called devotee as myself, that even for someone like me, Lord Nrisingadeva would come and, you know, and give protection. And actually, I know from that moment on that Krishna had saved me, and that Krishna is always giving protection to his devotees. So we can have great confidence, great conviction, that we simply need to surrender to the Lord, and he will protect us at all times. Now, what if he didn't? What if I was shot and was killed? Krishna, but they would still have been given me full protection, because that would have been Krishna's desire and Krishna's mercy also. And we all know that devotees have been killed, devotees have died, so it's not that we can expect that we're going to be eternal. We are in these material bodies, and these material bodies are going to perish at a certain point. But we can be very, very confident that Krishna will be protecting us at every moment, that he will be looking out for his devotees. And we have so many wonderful stories, and those of you who have worked with devotees who have left their bodies, you know, have many more of these than I do, but it seems like almost every story I hear of a devotee leaving their body, there's something wonderful that happens. Isn't it true? You know, there's always something like maybe the person hadn't been very Krishna conscious for a while, but then in those last few weeks or months, people, you can see that they have some kind of revelation, some kind of something happens in their life that we know that Krishna has intervened. You know, that Krishna has personally touched that devotee, become involved in them, help them, and save them. So this is our confidence. Not that we'll always be saved by every incident. Next time, the bullet might work and might shoot me. I mean, that can happen too. But either way, and I'm not saying that, you know, I don't care. Of course we do. We have concern for the body. We do try to preserve it. But at the same time, we know that whatever happens, we are in the Lord's hands. Everything is happening by His grace, by His mercy, and by His will. And that is what makes the devotee fearless. The devotee is fearless because he has that confidence that my life is not some random chance occurrence, you know, of things happening for no reason. Without devotional service, without Krishna consciousness, this is the real fearfulness. This is the real fear of the living entity, that we simply are living and dying, taking birth again, life after life, for no reason, and have no idea what our next life will be. Of course, many people, what to speak of what birth they'll take, many people have very little faith or confidence, even there is an afterlife. So that's another great cause of fear. Fear of the unknown. What will happen after death? Because ultimately, everyone is confronted with birth, death, disease, and old age. These things are there for every one of us, and these will cause fear for every living entity until we have surrendered to Krishna and fully understood our relationship with God, that we are not this body, which is perishable, but we are the imperishable soul that is within the body. And that imperishable soul in the body has an eternal relationship of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so the more that we begin to experience that relationship, that love, that kindness, that mercy that is there, that is coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then nothing else really matters so much. Nothing is of such great concern. We take care of the small matters, we do our duties, we try to be responsible as we act in this material world, but we know our real nature, we know our real purpose, and we know our real relationship is with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, as Vasudeva felt fearless in the presence of Krishna standing before him, we can also feel fearless because we are in the presence of Krishna. We may not see Krishna, descending in front of us like Vasudeva with four arms and talking to him. No, we may not be on that level, but we are seeing Krishna every day, hearing and manifesting His deity form. We are seeing Krishna manifesting as the holy name, dancing on our tongues when we are chanting our 16 rounds of japa every day, which we're all doing, right? Chanting our 16 rounds of japa. These things are so important because when we act according to the instructions of the spiritual master, following the principles, chanting our rounds, performing our sadhana, then we become within the spiritual energy. Then we're no longer in the material world. Our body and our mind may be in the material world. Sometimes we might even be feeling a lot of material consciousness. But that's actually superficial. What's really happening is that we are situating ourselves within the spiritual energy of the Lord. And we do that by following the orders of the spiritual master, by engaging in sadhana bhakti. And through that process of sadhana, we are elevated little by little, step by step, to the point where someday we will actually see Krishna face to face. And we will feel that complete love and security and fearlessness of the embrace of the Lord. So we know that that's before us. Srila Prabhupada has given us that assurance. He's also given us the assurance that if we do follow this process of Krishna consciousness, he once said, no power on heaven or earth can keep us from going back to Godhead. So what is there to fear? Whatever happens in this lifetime, we know our destination. Most people have no idea what will happen to them. But we know. We may not all go back to Godhead this lifetime, but we're heading there. We're in the right direction this lifetime, next lifetime. You know, the very worst, what's the worst that can happen? Take birth in a devotee family and have a wonderful life in devotional service. Hopefully it'd be more advanced than this lifetime, get a little better start. So our future is always emphasized that many times. The devotee is happy. The devotee feels a bright future. The devotee feels confidence because we know our relationship with God. And therefore, we can engage wholeheartedly in devotional service in this fearless mentality and consciousness that Vasudeva exhibited here. Okay. So I'll stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. So are there any questions, comments? I'll start with the ladies. Sometimes people say, well, we forget or ignore sometimes the questions, so that's later. Go ahead. Of their